Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. Today, we're going to talk about something that I see in nearly every client I work with, and truthfully, in most people, whether they come to me for organizing, coaching, or a little bit of both. And we're talking about clutter cycles, which is not just mess, not just piles of stuff, but the patterns that keep coming back. Even when you've decluttered before, even when you try new systems, even when you know exactly what you should, quote unquote, be doing. If you've ever said, I already organized this last year. I don't understand how it got this bad again. Why can't I keep up with it? This episode is for you. Let's talk about what I've seen with clients, what might be underneath your clutter cycle, and how we can begin to interrupt the pattern gently and for real. So what is a clutter cycle? A clutter cycle is when the same mess or the same feeling of chaos keeps returning. Now remember, when I use the word mess, I'm just saying the clutter that you feel. Mess is subjective, and how each of us sees it is subjective. So that feeling of chaos keeps returning. And you might declutter a space only to find it filled again, buy bins or baskets, but still feel overwhelmed, try new systems, but nothing sticks, clean your home, but never feel like it stays that way. And here's what I say to that. Clutter is rarely just about stuff. Mess is rarely just about stuff. It's often about what's unprocessed, unstructured, or unsupported. And that means it can return unless we look at the full picture, not just the surface. So as few things that I see when someone is stuck in that clutter loop, executive function overload. They're trying to make too many decisions without support, so the brain avoids the task entirely. Raise your hand if you relate. Obviously, I can't see your hand, but I'm sure this is common for a lot of us. Perfectionism or pressure. They wait until they can do it right, quote unquote, do it right, but that moment never comes. Raise your hand if that also sounds familiar. Emotional backlog. The clutter isn't just physical. It's connected to grief, guilt, shame, identity, fear of regret. Raise your hand if that sounds familiar. The reset loop. You tidy one area, but never build rhythms to maintain it. So everything feels like starting over. Unmet support needs. You're trying to do it all alone, or using strategies that don't fit how your brain works. You're using strategies that you read about or someone told you about that absolutely 100% works for them, but it doesn't work for you, and that's okay. And often, you might be internalizing the clutter as a character flaw. Why can't I just keep it clean? Why is this so easy for other people? But the truth is, it's not about discipline. It's about design. So here are some examples on how you can work to break the cycle. Not with one big transformation, but with tiny realignments, with tiny adjustments. The repeater pile. Same pile on the kitchen counter every single week. You can add a reset bin that gets emptied once a week, not daily. Put everything in that bin. Create structure that already matches your current habits. That outdated filing system. You could have files from years ago, decades ago, multiple careers and hats ago, and you can go to a current and an archive model. So instead of all of this needs to be in the same place, there's a this is now and this is before. And it might be easier then to find what you need without having to sort everything. The drop zone by the door. I think we all have this where there's a place either right by the door or in that first area when you walk in your home where everything just gets dropped. So think about what kind of support could be there. It could be bins, it could be hooks, trays. Instead of fighting the pattern and the habit, structure it. And these aren't dramatic Pinterest, Instagram makeovers, but they can work because they're designed with reality and matching the current flow, not just aspirational. If this is resonating, here are a few steps that you could take. Again, everything I say is with a grain of salt. Take what resonates, let go of what doesn't. Notice the pattern without judging it. Instead of, I'm such a mess, try, this pile keeps coming back. What is it trying to tell me? How can I provide structure around this habit I'm already doing and is ingrained in me without even realizing it? Another step is to start with function, not aesthetics. This is 100% how I work with my clients. Rarely, if ever, am I trying to go for aesthetics when I'm working with someone. It really is about functionality and ease. You could ask, what would make this space feel easier to use? Instead of, how do I make it look perfect? Another step you could take is to lower the activation energy. Keep things where you use them. I feel like this is one that we can often forget. So I'm going to say it again. Keep things where you use them. Store things open if closed bins or drawers make you forget. Give yourself visual cues. Are you someone who is always writing in a notepad when you're at your desk or always stapling something or reaching for a post-it? Keep it out. Keep it visible. Don't create more work to get the thing that you need just because you think it should be put away. Another step you could take is using micro resets. Can you create a 5-minute reset zone that gets attention once a day or once a week? Finding an area and a space where you can give it that intentional adjustment, that intentional alignment once a week. Small rhythms can make so much more difference than a deep clean. Deep cleans can be overwhelming. And add support, not shame. Body double with a friend, hire a professional, ask someone to sit nearby while you sort, talk to a friend on the phone while you work. You're not supposed to do it all alone. Let's close with a question that you can think about. What space in your life feels most out of alignment? And what would help make it feel 10% easier? And that 10% could even be 1%. Small step. You're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to make it perfect. Just making it 10% or 1% easier for you, because sometimes that's all it takes to shift the cycle. And then the next step can become visible. And then you're no longer stuck, you're moving forward. As always, thank you for listening. If this episode made you feel seen or gave you a new way to approach your space, I would love for you to share it. And if you're ready for organizing support that works with your nervous system, your energy, and your real life, feel free to connect with me at my website or over on Instagram, or even if you just have a question or a comment, feel free to reach out. And remember, you don't have to break the cycle all at once. You just have to interrupt it. One moment, one corner, one shift at a time.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.